Hi there. We're so glad you found the Fabric Podcast. Before you start listening, we wanted to let you know that this is one of our earlier episodes where our show was called The Check-In. On these episodes, we talk about the company, giving you insight into who we are and what we do. But in 2019, we realized we really want to focus more on company culture. So we refocused and renamed the podcast. So just a heads up that this earlier episode is still us, the team from The Receptionist, but just with a different show name and a slightly different focus. Thanks for listening. On this episode of The Check-In, we're joined once again by Michael Ashford, Director of Marketing, who gives us an inside peek into his head as a marketer at a bootstrapped tech startup. He shares how he got started in marketing, which actually did not start in marketing. He started as a sports writer, interestingly enough. And having worked at both tech startups and big companies with big budgets, he shares some of the differences between marketing at these two different types of organizations. He talks budget, what you might want to spend some of your money on, what's worked at large companies, hasn't worked at The Receptionist, and gives us some insight into what it means to be a director of marketing at a large organization versus a bootstrapped tech startup. Who your team is, how you work with people has looked different based on a large company with a larger budget and different goals versus a tech company who is really excited, really driven, but is also trying to bootstrap it and grow their business. So we're really excited. We use lots of cliches in today's episode, maybe make a tally, see how many we've done, and report back. We think it's maybe 6 or 7. Stick around. Let us know. We hope you enjoy the episode. Michael, I am so happy to have you back on The Check-In. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, Sarah. Long time no talk, right?
I know. It's been a while. So I'm excited about today's topic where we kind of get inside your head as a marketer at a bootstrapped tech company. So before we kind of get into what's going on for you now, tell us a little bit about how you got started in marketing. What was the draw for you?
My background is definitely not in marketing. I actually graduated from college with a degree in mass communications and journalism, and I was a sports editor at a newspaper for several years. And so I did the whole sports writing thing. Once it came time to start thinking about a family, I said, well, the career of a sports writer is not really conducive to that because all sports happen at night, really, in the evening. And so I wanted to be home with family. And I took a project management job at a tech company and very quickly decided, you know, I like working with customers after the sale, but I'm a highly competitive person. And so the idea of trying to bring in those customers really was appealing to me. And our sales and marketing director at the time brought me onto the sales team as a sales engineer and just worked my way up there until we had the director of marketing position open at this particular company. And he said, hey, it's yours if you want it, if you want to get your feet wet in the director in the marketing world.
Just take it on. Be that director.
Yeah, I kind of think he might have been a little bit crazy for doing it at the time. And I think he got some flack for offering the director of marketing job to somebody who had never done marketing before. But I think really at the end of the day, marketing is about communication.
Yeah.
And if you can effectively communicate what your company, what your brand is all about, if you can do that in a positive way and also in a way that helps generate business, then marketing can be pretty straightforward. You can teach marketing tactics. Mm-hmm. It's pretty hard to teach effective communication and what's going to resonate with someone.
Absolutely. And I love that because, you know, in some of these careers, there's this sort of career path that people feel like you have to take for a doctor, a lawyer. Yeah. There are certain steps that you need to take, boxes you need to check become that doctor or lawyer. But in the tech world, it's not a linear path. And you can start off as one thing and your career can completely evolve in a pretty short period of time.
The period of time that I'm talking about was 10 years ago. I mean, just think of all the advancements that we have and the information that you have access to. I can learn how to code for free in my spare time now with things like Code Academy if I wanted to get into that world. And we just have the ability, we have so much of the tactical resources at our hands that when you really think about where you might want to focus your efforts if you do want to get into marketing or if you do want to get into sales or really anything, it comes down to you're going to have to learn how to effectively communicate. Whether you're on a team at a company or whether you're trying to sell a product or market a product, it really comes down to can you speak to that person in the way that they respond?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Those communication skills are so important they can't be overlooked. And I think sometimes, you know, especially in the tech world, it's like, well, I'm in tech and I, you know, I can be behind the scenes. Sometimes you can, but especially in the world of marketing, yeah, you have to be able to talk to people and comfortable with them. And I would imagine that regardless of the type of company that you're working at in marketing, those communication skills are always highly important. But what have you found is maybe some of the differences, because you've worked at both startups and well-established companies. So can you give us some insight into marketing in both of those worlds?
For sure. Before I came to the receptionist and was hired as the company's first director of marketing, really coming in from the ground level here at the receptionist, which is exciting in its own right.
Yeah, you're a trailblazer. We're seeing a pattern here.
I love it. I love building things. You know, right before this, I came from a company that when I left was $80 million a year. It was private equity held. And so I had a marketing team that I was managing. It was, you know, at any one time, 5-6 people that I'm managing on this team, well-established, 10-plus-year-old company. And so the biggest difference I would say there is as a marketing leader, and not just, let me focus on the leader part first and not marketing as a whole, but as a leader, you're much more people-focused. You are trying to put people in a role and help them succeed and help them do really well in that role and whatever role that they're looking, that they've got their eye on towards the future. Marketing as a whole and what we're doing as a team, with that well-established of a company and that big of a company, you're kind of riding the company's brand recognition coattails. In a lot of ways, I kind of relate it to, you're just trying not to screw up.
Which is not a comfortable place to be, I don't think.
Obviously, the market shifts and changes, but for the most part, at a company that size, most people who would be in the market for your product probably know about your product.
Right. Yeah.
And so brand awareness or getting your message out or just getting in front of as many eyeballs as you possibly can, that's not as important from a marketing standpoint as providing value. You're doing a lot of competitive head-to-head, you know, here's how we compare to this other product. Mm-hmm. You're really just doing a lot of positioning work and making tweaks and changes here. You're not brand building so much as you are just effectively guiding the messaging of the company in a way that doesn't mess up.
Right.
Lack of a better phrase.
Yeah. And I know you said for you that part of what was exciting is to get to work directly with the customers and kind of connect with the people. And it sounds like in that scenario, you're not really working with people in that way. You're working internally within your company, but you don't really get to kind of deal with your end user maybe as much as you might in a startup, or at least I know in the receptionist.
Yeah, for sure. As a marketer, you're always looking for customer stories, and you're trying to bring the voice of the customer into your marketing efforts. No matter if you're at a large company that's $80 million, $100 million a year, bigger, or at a company like the receptionist that's, you know, 3 years old and really growing, but also bootstrapping it, like we're talking about, you're trying to bring the voice of the customer into that messaging. At a large company, right, wrong, or the other, they're silos. And so getting to the customer can be protected in some ways. Customer experience or customer support may say, well, you need to go through these channels because this is the customer success manager and they're the ones who handle the interactions with this customer. And we really need to go through these proper channels to get approval. It just, you layer on intricacies and complexity at a large company that, again, just bringing in that really one-to-one relationship with the customer is made so much easier when you're talking about a company like the receptionist, where, you know, I'll get on a support chat with a customer and they'll say, oh my gosh, I love you guys. And I, as the marketing director, after I've helped them live with their support issue, I can say, hey, you guys are doing a really awesome job. You want to be a featured customer on our website?
So
I can immediately switch into marketing manager or marketing director right there in a support chat. I mean, it's the distance from marketing to customer is far, far shorter in a startup world.
Yeah, which I imagine is great for just marketing in general, but also for someone like you who likes to be connected to the people.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always thrived on making sure that I understand our customers, not just who they are and what they care about and what they do in their job, but why they actually see value in our product, in our in the software or the service that we're providing them.
Yeah.
Because if I can understand that, and I can, the thing I love most is when I can look at a customer, when I can get them on a call and either hear the inflection and tone in their voice, or better yet, be sitting there face to face with them or on a video call, and I can see the way that they talk about our product and not just see the words or hear the words, but I can see them, the facial expressions, that all can translate into marketing. And it does if you manage it properly, I think.
Yeah, you mentioned this before we sort of hit record on this episode, that growth for a company can happen because of your customer support and having an awesome product, which those two things do not always have to go together, right? You can have a terrible product, but great customer support and vice versa. But the receptionist, thankfully, has both, we think. So talk to us a little bit more from a marketing standpoint about how that customer support and awesome products really make marketing, I would guess, easier, probably more enjoyable. So talk to us a little bit more about that.
My experience at the couple of startups that I've led and build marketing teams for is that word of mouth marketing is so much more effective. And this is true at anywhere, but it's easier to get, it's easier to sustain at a startup than it is at a large company that, like I mentioned earlier, is just kind of focused on, not focused on, but reliant on its brand position in the market. It's just a big company. It's been around for a long time. People know about it. And really, you're effectively waiting for them to come when the time is right.
Yeah.
And you want to be there to provide them the information that they're looking for. But again, you're just trying not to mess up that interaction. Word of mouth marketing at a startup, especially a bootstrap startup like The Receptionist, is so much more important. It's so much more effective. It's so much more, I mean, if we're talking about cost and an ROI, getting your customers to tell their friends and their colleagues and coworkers about you and do your marketing for you, that's every marketer's dream, obviously. But when you're talking about the more finite resources of a bootstrapped company, things like making sure and ensuring that they have a radically awesome support experience or that using your product is just that cool, that simple, that straightforward, that even somebody who's never used your product before can come in and use it and say, wow, this is really cool. I'd like to maybe use something like this at my job. When I can piggyback off of that from a product and support standpoint and go to market with that message and get our customers to start talking about us in that way, man, it's exponential the growth that can happen when that happens.
Yeah. And it's nice that you can do that and you have access to the people and you can build on that momentum. So I can see where that really sets apart a company like yours, who is a startup, you know, you're bootstrapping it, you're looking for ways to really create not only a strong product, a really great customer service experience, wanting to grow, share your product with more people. You have really great ways to do that marketing wise when you're so connected to people that use your product.
It's a little bit cliche to say it in the startup world, but it's so true. I mean, you're just wearing different hats.
Yeah.
Everybody wears 5, 6, 7 different hats. And, you know, the great thing about what I love about the team here at The Receptionist is, you know, I can go and talk to our director of customer experience, Jessica, and she'll say, you know what, we so focus on the radical support experience with our customers that could we figure out a way to make that come across on the website? And she and I have a conversation about marketing where it's, as I mentioned earlier, in maybe a larger company, that would take a meeting. We have to set up a meeting in a conference room and set up a conference line. And we have to have these 5 different people on here because we're talking about making changes to the website.
Right.
And all of these layers of just internal strife that has to happen. Jess and I can just turn to each other and she can say, you know what, could we add the word radical to our website? I mean, I feel if we're talking about this in our meetings and if we say we're radical support, can we have it on the website? Absolutely, Jess. Let me go make that change right now.
I can do that for you. Great idea.
Or I can attend a product meeting or have a sit down with our product team at any point in time. From a sales side of things, obviously marketing and sales should be and are tied at the hip here at The Receptionist. And you know, my job as a marketer, no matter where I'm at, is to help sales be as effective in their job as possible. And so I attend all the sales meetings, and I think that's something that every marketer should do. Attend sales meetings, attend product meetings, attend and work support, or at least shadow your support team, so that you can begin to hear the full 360-degree view of what your customers are experiencing from the sales cycle, from the support standpoint,
right,
from the product standpoint. It all feeds the marketing experience.
Yeah, it sounds like the team in this situation is different than the team that you might experience at a larger company, right? Because at the larger company, you're the director of marketing and your team is these people underneath you who are also doing marketing. Here at the receptionist, your team is the other heads of departments and the other people who work for the company, and you're all working together.
Everyone's a doer in multiple ways. And I don't want to poo-poo big companies. Like, it's a lot of fun to work at a big company, obviously, and we're trying to grow the receptionist to become a big company.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun in the journey of doing that as well. But, you know, at a big company, you're obviously talking about a much larger budget, and you get to do events and things that may not have as immediate of an ROI and return on your budget spend as you might not see at a startup. But so obviously having a bigger budget is always fun for a marketer to play with.
Yeah. I can imagine that would be a little stressful though, too, when you're talking about all that money. And like you said, you just don't want to mess things up, right? That it might be harder to, well, let's spend this big chunk of change on this entirely new idea, or, you know, hitting approve on some, you know, big number for marketing efforts. I can imagine that, you know, it, as someone in this role, that could feel a bit stressful at times.
Yeah, I've had event marketing budgets bigger than my entire budget here at the receptionist before. And the thing that marketers, especially at large companies, are really facing right now, and I face this as well, is, okay, if we're going to go and spend $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 a year on events, are we going to make that back?
Right.
And then some?
Yeah.
Marketer, you're telling me that these events are important, and this may be the CEO, this may be the chief operating officer saying, hey, you're telling me that you need this $100,000 to spend on these events this year. How are we going to get that back? And how soon are we going to get that back?
Yeah.
And so you marketers, especially at larger companies, are being more held to task for the budget dollars that they're spending that startups are always held to.
Yeah, I would imagine, especially when you're talking about a bootstrap tech startup, right?
Absolutely.
That's really trying, you know, and we talk about this in the episode with Andy, that there's nothing wrong if your goal is to secure, you know, venture funds and to really get some big money for your company. But obviously that's not the goal of the receptionist. And that while there may be some investment money, the goal is really to do what you're doing, do it well, have it grow, and continue to be cash positive. So from a budgeting standpoint, at one of these tech startups who really is trying to bootstrap it, not take on these big funds, maybe yet or ever, what are your thoughts on budgeting and how to make it work with what you've got?
There's a cliche that startups have to be scrappy and you know, more resourceful with their funds. And I think that's true no matter where you're at. You're just dealing with bigger figures one way or the other. But I think a lot of your efforts, again, what we were just talking about, is you have to show that positive return. And the great thing that I love about Andy here at the receptionist and the work that I've been allowed to do since, you know, at this point, we're coming up on a year since I've started here, is you do a lot of testing. You do a lot of dipping your toes in the water of different channels, because as a startup, you don't quite know what's going to pop for you and what's maybe going to fall flat. A lot of the stuff that I've done at the very big companies that has worked very well for us, you know, we've tested it and tried it here at the receptionist, and it just hasn't hit. Now, maybe we were doing it wrong. Maybe we can, you know, iterate and test. But you do a lot of that. You dip your toes in the water of different marketing channels. Maybe you throw some money at influencer marketing, and can you get your customers incentivized to talk to their friends about you? Or what does, you know, Capterra and G2 Crowd and these customer review sites that so many people rely on now before they even begin the sales process and talk to your sales team, how much do we really dig in there, and can we show that money and that value is paying off for us. And then once you find something that hits and you start to see some momentum there, that's when you deploy your resources. That's when you really go all in for those things. I think at a larger company, because you're just simply dealing with bigger dollars, it's okay to spread it out everywhere.
Right.
And you kind of go with all and everything because you kind of have to. It's kind of expected, I think.
Right. Yeah. We've had a few cliches today, but you got to spend money to make money.
Yeah.
But at a startup, especially if you're bootstrapping it, you can't put the money everywhere at once. It sounds like you have to test some things out, see what will work. And then as the momentum builds, if it's working, you continue to fund it. Now, what about if we've got, CEOs, heads of companies?
Well, I want to be really tactical for the listeners too, and give them a really concrete example of what I'm talking about. So at the previous company that I was at, webinars were one of our highest converting channels.
Yeah.
They were awesome. I mean, we would get high attendance, we would get high conversion rates, we would generate leads with every single webinar. And so naturally, my thought process in coming to the receptionist was, well, I've had so much success with this at this company. Yeah, I want to do that here. And so we did. We launched a webinar program at the beginning of 2018, just a few months after I started. We threw some money into that channel. We really made a concerted effort to build that out over several months and be consistent with that. Because that's the other thing is you got to be, if you're going to test something, you got to be consistent with it. You got to make the commitment to actually spend some money there to actually get results, positive or negative.
Right.
We did. We ran that program out for 5-6 months and flat out didn't work. I mean, and so we've pulled back on it. We've said, we haven't said no, never, not again. We've just said, not right now. This is not a channel that at this time is going to work for us. We would be much more behooved to spend our money in these other ways. And so I just wanted to be really, really tactical and clear. This is an example of what worked at a big company, didn't work for us. And it can go both ways.
All right. So all this talk about budget, you mentioned this a little bit earlier on, that one of the things you loved about the receptionist and with Andy is that he was willing to spend the money for marketing. And I could see from maybe a CEO's perspective or, head of a company's perspective, the hesitancy to spend that money on marketing right away. So what are your thoughts about that? Make a case for these future marketers, perhaps, at these bootstrap tech companies. Why would someone want to put that money out there?
For sure. I mean, we're obviously talking about, we haven't taken on a lot of funding here at the receptionist. And when you do that in that world, you're expected to spend the money. And so you're going to have the money and it's thrown at marketing. But for a lot of startups, a lot of companies that are bootstrapping it, much like the receptionist, I have seen and felt some hesitancy to pour money into marketing. A lot of times, hiring up sales staff and hiring up a lot of developers to build the product up as quickly as possible has kind of been the major focus. And the thing about it is, you can build a really great, awesome product if nobody knows about it. If nobody hears about it, if nobody understands what it is you do and the value that you bring, which is marketing's job, then the best product in the world is at the end of the day going to fall flat. And so even before I came on board a little over a year ago here at the receptionist, Andy, the team here at the receptionist, they were spending money in marketing. And that's been a big difference for me is I've come into a situation where they were spending money in marketing. It was with a lot of consultants. And so my job, rather than the people management side of things, has been the consultant management side of things and really getting all of our consultants on the same page with the same messaging and the same brand and the same tone and the same customer stories that we've talked about. So that's been another big change in terms of my role as the director of marketing. They've been spending money. We've increased that size of the pot, I guess, to again use another cliche.
We should be taking a tally if this were in the show. I know, like, ding, God. One more.
I always say I hate cliches, and here I am using them left and right.
It's okay.
There is a hesitancy, I think, certainly in a startup world to spend money on marketing, and you can do it effectively. You don't have to do it in the really high cost ways that I think a lot of people might initially think of marketing.
Right. And I think, especially if you're looking at yourself as a company who is bootstrapping it, there might be a part of that mentality, you know, that's looking at, well, where should I not spend money versus where do I spend money? And I could see where it might be hard to make those decisions just in general, and where marketing could become, you know, the thing or one of the areas that someone decides, well, maybe not yet, right? Like yeah. you said, maybe let's wait a little bit, but we do want to put the cart before the horse. I'm not sure which way that cliche is going to work out here, but
I know, right?
There's another one for everyone. Okay. So obviously, as you already said, what works at one company isn't necessarily going to work at another, but let's finish up today with, are there any marketing techniques or strategies that you feel have been most beneficial for the receptionist that you might want to share with our listeners today?
Coming into the receptionist, one of the really eye-opening marketing channels for me has been those customer review sites. And certainly as a consumer, I use customer reviews all the time when I'm shopping for stuff on Amazon or shopping at my favorite, you know, clothing outlet online or store online. What's really interesting is how prevalent that has become in the B2B space, which is really where the receptionist sells into. And so you have just a ton of buyers going to, as I mentioned, you know, G2 Crowd, Capterra, Software Advice, GetApp. There are so many of them out there that making sure your customers are aware that they can leave reviews of your product on that site. Now that puts a huge caveat on your support team, on your product team, to produce a really great product and support experience for your customers. I mean, we go back to this again. Marketing is the sum of everything that the company is doing. And if you fail in one area, that's where your customers are going to focus on if they review your product. And so you want to direct people there, but you also want to make sure that they're happy.
Right. You don't want to send them there to write a bad review.
Yeah. And so, you know, those are just so important too. And they're so cost effective for us too. You know, when we talk about how we're spending our budget dollars. For a company like the receptionist too, that is trying to really create a space in the world of visitor management systems that maybe not a whole lot of people know is even a thing.
Right.
AdWords, paid advertising, pay-per-click advertising is important for us so that you're talking about keywords that people might be searching for that you can piggyback off of. And then finally, content marketing. It should go without saying for any marketer, but content marketing, the reason we're doing this podcast, the reason we produce a blog every week and have consultants to help us on all of this stuff, the reason we produce interactive guides and downloadable tip sheets on our website is to increase that organic traffic, capture those keywords, the both short tail and long tail keywords. You have to be in the content marketing game if you want to survive
right.
as a marketer.
Right. Well, and one of the things that you mentioned that I love is that, you know, you as the head of marketing don't have to take all of these things on. You can hire other people. You can outsource this, which is great. You don't have to be an expert in all of the things, but you need to know where to find the good people and then how to manage those consultants and those teams well.
Yeah. As you grow, obviously, it just begins to make more cost-effective sense to bring roles in-house from consultants. But there's no need to rush that, I feel like. We kind of call all of our consultants our sharpshooters. They're really good at aiming and firing at the very specific things that we've asked them to do. Mm-hmm. And that makes my job so much more easy. That makes the channel that they're producing content and their work for that much more effective for us, because that's what we've hired them to do. I absolutely love that approach. It's a new one for me here at the receptionist, but one that over the last year I've really grown to embrace. There'll be a day where I grow up my marketing team and I won't be the only marketer at the receptionist, but we'll see. Again, bootstrapping it, we have to be kind of patient as well.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for letting us inside your head today and sharing about what goes on for you and with marketing and what you've experienced. So thanks so much.
Awesome, Sarah. As always, it was a pleasure.
We hope that you got some good insight into happiness, what we've got going on to ensure that our team and our clients are happy, and maybe what you would like to do to increase the satisfaction or measure that satisfaction for your own clients and customers. And if you'd like to check out our 2-week free trial with no credit card required and to see what we do to make our potential customers and then customers happy, check us out at thereceptionist.com.